Good morning. My name is Heather, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Sprint and SoftBank Investor Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Brad Hampton, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Heather. Good morning and welcome everyone to the conference call to discuss the transaction between Sprint and SoftBank. Joining us on the call today from Tokyo are Masayoshi Son, CEO of SoftBank, as well as our CEO, Dan Hesse, and from here in Overland Park, Sprint CFO, Joe Euteneuer. Dan will start off today's call to discuss the transaction. Then Masa will take you through SoftBank's perspective, followed by Joe to review the transaction structure and timing. We'll also have time for some questions. Turning to slide two, I will take you through our cautionary statement. This presentation includes forward-looking statements which are not of historical fact. All forward-looking statements involve significant risk and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those made in the forward-looking statements, many of which are generally outside the control of the parties involved and are difficult to predict. Forward-looking statements speak only as to the date made, regardless of the date reviewed, read, or replayed, and are based on current assumptions and expectations, many of which are beyond our ability to control or ability to predict. Turning to slide three, this document contains soliciting material related to the proposed transaction between SoftBank and Sprint. The document contains forward-looking statements related to the proposed transaction, which contain significant risks, as I have just outlined. Turning to slide four, throughout the call, we will refer to several non-GAAP metrics. Reconciliations of our non-GAAP performance and liquidity measures to the appropriate GAAP measures can be found in the attachments to our second quarter earnings release, which is available on our website at sprint.com/investors. Today's presentation is available online on the Sprint and SoftBank investor websites at sprint.com/investors and softbank.co.jp/en/IRINFO. You are encouraged to review the slides during this conference call and call your attention to the Safe Harbor Statement on slides 2 and 3 in full. A replay of this call will be available later today on the same website. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the company's prepared remarks, we will open the call for your questions. I will now turn the call over to Sprint CEO, Dan Hesse.
Thank you, Brad, and thanks to everyone for joining us this morning and for your interest in Sprint. If you'd please turn to slide six. I'm pleased to be in Japan today to describe an important step in the turnaround of Sprint. We are pleased today to announce a major investment by SoftBank, which we believe will provide the most shareholder value and will result in a stronger, better capitalized Sprint. This is a historic day for Sprint as we continue on the progress we have made on our turnaround path. SoftBank will invest $20.1 billion in Sprint, consisting of $12.1 billion to be distributed cash to shareholders and $8 billion of new cash injected into Sprint, greatly strengthening our balance sheet. We believe this investment in Sprint will help propel our turnaround and provide us with the financial flexibility to pursue opportunities and strategic options that would not be possible with our current balance sheet. As you know, Sprint has been engaged in a turnaround since 2008. We have been at a significant disadvantage with a weak balance sheet in a competitive environment dominated by two very well-capitalized and much larger competitors. We have successfully managed through the most difficult phase, recovery phase, and have emerged with a strong, growing core business. This investment from SoftBank comes at an ideal time, both to strengthen the foundation we are building as we invest in network vision and to provide an immediate return for our shareholders. If you please turn to slide seven, I want to discuss the wide array of benefits this transaction brings to Sprint. First, we believe this transaction will provide an excellent return for our shareholders. Under the terms of these agreements, our shareholders will have the opportunity to get an attractive cash premium for a significant portion of their outstanding stock. Plus, shareholders can participate in the expected future growth of a stronger, better capitalized, publicly traded new Sprint. The offer price of $7.30 per share in cash for approximately 55% of Sprint shares represents a 39% premium and a 54% premium to the average of the previous 30 and 90 day unaffected days closing prices, respectively. The addition of $8 billion of capital to our balance sheet is expected to open strategic options we have not had available to us at any time during my tenure. SoftBank brings so much more to Sprint than money. This investment provides the opportunity to benefit from the knowledge and expertise of a leader in mobile internet technology with a proven track record of challenging larger incumbent carriers. SoftBank's experience in turning around Vodafone Japan is a case in point. Their execution in Japan has been impressive. Through its acquisition of Vodafone KK in 2006, SoftBank entered the Japanese telecom market in just 6 years, turned a distant third-place carrier with just 5% net asset share into a strong and growing competitor based on a 5% share of subscribers and a 45% share of net adds, the highest in the Japanese wireless industry. During that time, they doubled the subscriber base, increased service revenue by 60%, and achieved a 5x increase in operating income. We expect to capitalize on a deep well of valuable technical and product expertise that will bolster our execution of network vision and enhance our competitiveness. For example, two companies will utilize both FDLTE and TDLTE in its offering, and we can work together on multi-mode interoperability, handoffs, and the device ecosystem together. We can learn from their extensive experience with sophisticated Wi-Fi offload architectures and techniques. We believe that SoftBank's experience in Japan, that is ahead of the U.S., to emerging fields like mobile payments, will be valuable. And we believe our partnership with SoftBank to create new opportunities together will create economies of scale and cost savings. Sprint's management team will remain in place, and our headquarters will remain in Overland Park. Our priorities will remain the same. We believe this transaction is pro-consumer. A strong third player in the U.S. telecom industry will provide increased choice and innovation. In closing, I've said many times in recent years, I believe that over time, there is significant consolidation opportunity in the U.S. wireless market outside of the Big Two. Sprint's current balance sheet, plus the investments required for network vision and iPhone acquisition expenses during our investment phase these next 2 years, could preclude Sprint shareholders from benefiting from the synergies such consolidation could bring. I won't speculate on the likelihood of any potential transaction, but we do not want the company or its shareholders to be forced to sit on the sidelines. After this transaction, Sprint's net debt to OIBDA ratio should be in the same range as Verizon's or AT&T. We will use our cash in a way we believe creates the most shareholder value. Sprint, for the first time in many years, will have the strength and flexibility to play a key role in the evolution of the industry. We believe that today's announcement represents a very positive opportunity for Sprint, for our shareholders, and for the United States. Our shareholders will have the opportunity to receive an attractive premium on their current investment and own shares of a new, more powerful, and financially flexible Sprint. And the United States receives a significant investment into the U.S. economy that will produce a stronger and more competitive wireless market. We look forward to collaborating with SoftBank to make the customer experience even better and bring new innovations to market. Thank you for your ongoing interest in and support of Sprint. I will now hand the call over to Masa to discuss the benefits of our partnership from SoftBank's point of view. Masa?
Okay, thank you. I'd like to continue from page 12. So with this acquisition, our revenue would be $80 billion. And page 13 is our EBITDA, consolidated EBITDA, would be $18 billion. And you can see on the page 14, we have achieved a tremendous success in increasing our profitability and growing quickest in Japan. Our competitors have been flat, but we are the one that has been growing our profitability continuously, the largest and highest. Page 15, SoftBank is not just a typical mobile telephony company. We own 960 mobile internet companies. So SoftBank, I always consider us as the internet company. So it's different. Telecom company going, adding internet portfolio, or internet company going into mobile internet infrastructure. So we view this as the conversion, but we are from the internet world. So the way, the view that we see is a little bit different from the incumbent telecom company. Page 16, I think U.S. mobile market has a huge potential upside because it's the largest market in the world for smartphone, high ARPU, mainly postpaid. However, the network is very slow compared to Japan. It's half the speed on average compared to Japan. Every time I come to the U.S., I say, oh my God, mobile phone network is so slow. So if we come to the States, I think we can provide much better competitive technology and services that U.S. citizens have never experienced. And it is a duopolistic market, so that's the kind of market that I have always fought in Japan, and we have a track record of beating. So page 17, why I like Sprint especially so much. It has a strong brand, shared vision, and smartphone LTE strategy is very the same as ours. And including Dan, the Sprint has a strong management team. So I like all of those, and I'd like to make the move. So page 18 is the same slide as Dan has just explained, and we are just coming in the second stage of the turnaround, which is the investment stage. Dan and the team has done a beautiful job of the recovery stage, which is stage one. Now the company has reached to the stage two, which is the investment stage, and the Sprint never had.
Sorry, we're having some technical difficulties. Just one moment, we'll resume the call.
Dan Hesse's still on.
Masa, are you still on the line?
Masa's line did disconnect, but I think he's dialing back in now.
Thank you. Hello, Masa.
Yeah, sorry. Another phone line came and I accidentally cut off by myself.
Okay, you can continue your remarks. Thank you, sir.
Okay. So, the page 19, we are bringing in additional capital to the company, $8 billion. That would enhance the network enhancement and strategic investment strengthen the balance sheet. Then, this is the fresh new capital for the company. Right. The SoftBank would also bring in a synergy. On the page 20, we bring smartphone synergy, LTE synergy, and the proven track record of turning around. We have done the turning around 3 times. So with those synergies, the Sprint is going to accelerate the turnaround of the company as page 21. Page 22, as you can see here, SoftBank, when we acquired Vodafone Japan, our EBITDA margin was less than 30%, which is similar to the Sprint of today. But today, SoftBank EBITDA margin is bigger than AT&T and the same level as Verizon. So we have a smaller scale than Docomo, but our profitability is highest in Japan. So with our track record know-how, I think Sprint is the best buy position right now. This is the company that's going to turn around very quickly from here on with our new injected capital plus our track record of proven history. Page 23 is the turning around of our history. The Vodafone Japan days was the red bar, and the black bar is SoftBank days. We have paid down the debt. When we acquired Vodafone Japan, we leveraged so much, but we paid down the debt much quicker than we originally planned. So page 25, our revenue level is the number 3 in the world, just next to Verizon, and we beat AT&T. So subscriber numbers, US-Japan market comparing, we would be much bigger than Docomo, and almost a similar size with AT&T and Verizon, if you add SoftBank subscribers into Sprint. So with this volume, we have the negotiation leverage against handset vendors, against network vendors, against content guys. So the disadvantage that Sprint had over the years would be much more overcome. So in summary, we would become number 3 in the world, and U.S. market is huge. We have a smartphone and LTE network synergies, and Sprint would be financially strengthened, and competitiveness goes up, and SoftBank has a proven record, and so on. Okay, that's my part.
Thank you, Masa. Today's announcement opens up a new vista of financial flexibility for Sprint, and I can tell you as a CFO, I am very excited. I wanted to first take you through the structure and timing of the expected transactions and pro forma capital structure, and then make sure we leave some time for your questions. We are very pleased to announce today a series of definitive agreements that will result in the acquisition by SoftBank of an approximate 70% interest in the fully diluted equity of Sprint for an aggregate investment of $20.1 billion. The transaction is expected to result in 55% of Sprint's outstanding shares receiving $7.30 of cash per share, or a total of $12.14 billion in cash, and 45% of Sprint's outstanding shares converting into 30% of the recapitalized Sprint, which will also receive the benefit of an $8 billion cash infusion to Sprint's balance sheet. Moving to slide 29, the $7.30 cash offer per share represents a 39% premium above the average of the volume-weighted 30-day unaffected closing price and a 54% premium to the 90-day average. The 45% of our shares that are converted into ownership of New Sprint will gain an investment in a significantly strengthened company. The capital investment we expect to receive will greatly strengthen our balance sheet, which will improve our financial and operational flexibility, as well as reducing our cost of borrowing. Turning to the next page, under the terms of the agreements, SoftBank is forming a new U.S. subsidiary, New Sprint, which will invest $3.1 billion in a newly issued Sprint convertible bond following this announcement. The bond has a 7-year term, a 1% coupon rate, and upon receiving regulatory approval, will be convertible into Sprint common stock at $5.25 per share. The bond converts into Sprint shares immediately prior to the transaction close. This convertible bond provides us with the immediate increased financial flexibility at very attractive borrowing costs. Prior to closing, which is subject to Sprint shareholder vote and regulatory approval, SoftBank will capitalize the new Sprint subsidiary with an additional $17 billion of cash. Of this, $4.9 billion will be used to purchase a new issuance of Sprint common stock at $5.25 per share. The remaining $12.1 billion will be distributed to Sprint shareholders as cash consideration, and the parties will effect a merger transaction in which New Sprint will become a publicly traded company and Sprint will continue as its wholly owned subsidiary. In addition, Sprint will issue SoftBank a 5-year warrant for an additional approximately 55 million shares at an exercise price of $5.25 per share. If exercised, this would represent an additional infusion of $287 million cash to New Sprint, above and beyond the $20.1 billion transaction value. The aggregate transactions are expected to result in approximately 55% of current Sprint shares being exchanged for cash, with the remaining 45% of Sprint shares converting into shares of New Sprint. Sprint shareholders will have the opportunity to elect to receive either $7.30 per share in cash or one share of New Sprint per current share of Sprint, subject to proration. We believe this is an excellent opportunity for our shareholders to have a choice of receiving an attractive premium on their current investment while also having the opportunity to participate in the expected growth of a stronger Sprint or a combination of both. Following closing and upon subsequent exercise of the warrant, SoftBank will own 70% of New Sprint on a fully diluted basis, and Sprint equity holders will own the remaining 30%. New Sprint will have a 10-member board, which will include 6 independent members under the New York Stock Exchange listing standards, 3 coming from Sprint's board, and 3 appointed by SoftBank, as well as Dan and Masa as chairman of the board. The 2 remaining members will also be appointed by SoftBank. We believe the expertise in mobile Internet and track record of innovation that SoftBank will bring to Sprint's leadership will be significant. Turning to the next page, this is truly a transformative investment for Sprint. At the end of the second quarter, we had approximately $6.8 billion in cash and cash equivalents and total debt of $21.3 billion for net debt of approximately $14.5 billion and a net debt to last 12 months adjusted OIBDA as of 6/30/2012 of 2.95 times. Using Q2 close numbers as an illustrative example, the cash infusion we will receive would transform our balance sheet to a position of strength with a net debt to last 12 months adjusted OIBDA ratio of just 1.32 times. Even with the cash burn that we expect in the next few quarters as we continue our investment in Network Vision, we expect to have a significantly improved capital structure upon close. In closing, I want to reiterate some of the key points Dan made at the beginning of the call. We believe today's announcement will bring Sprint and its shareholders a number of key benefits, including an immediate and attractive cash premium to current market price and an opportunity to participate in the growth of a stronger, better capitalized Sprint. A relationship with SoftBank, a known innovator in mobile and Internet with a proven track record in challenging larger incumbent carriers in Japan. The ability to continue our focus on the execution of Network Vision while opening up opportunities for additional investment in growth. And the opportunity to be a stronger competitor and advance innovation in the U.S. market and accelerate the delivery of innovative new products to consumers. While today's announcement opens up a wide array of opportunities for us to invest in growth, I want to emphasize that our discipline and focus on profitability will not change. Throughout the year, as we have embarked on the investment phase of our turnaround, we have kept a razor-sharp focus on disciplined, profitable growth, and we continue to expect to use that filter of strong return on investment in our analysis of any future growth opportunities. This strategic investment and the resulting improved capital structure simply widens the consideration set of strategic and competitive opportunities. It does not take our eye off the ball. We are very excited about the new opportunities ahead of us. Together with SoftBank, we believe we will build a strong next-generation mobile Internet competitor in the U.S. wireless market. I'll now turn the call over to Brad to start Q&A.
Thank you, Joe. In just a minute, Heather will instruct our listeners on how to queue up for the question and answer session. I want to remind you that you may access an audio replay or a webcast of our presentation on sprint.com/investors. We will now open the line for your questions. Operator, please instruct our participants.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then the number 1, and that's star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment. And your first question comes from John Hodulik with UBS.
Okay, thanks. Good morning, guys, and congrats on the deal. Quick question on first on slide 19. You know, you talk about the uses of cash within $8 billion, and the second one is strategic investment, I guess not associated with the network enhancement. Can you maybe give us a little color there? And then I guess along those same lines, you know, Dan and Joe, obviously fixing the balance sheet and getting that in condition to compete, it was a big consideration here. The only sort of missing piece is, I guess, at this point, is spectrum. You know, how does that relate to, you know, what you're looking at in terms of strategic investments and maybe if you could the potential timing on moving forward with fixing the hole you have in that from a spectrum standpoint? Thanks.
Masa, would you like to take the question about strategic investments that are mentioned on slide 19?
This is Masa Song. I got cut off and I rejoined.
We had a question, Masa, regarding your slide 19 that shows potential uses of the $8 billion of new capital invested in Sprint, specifically the strategic investments. Could you comment on what some of those strategic investments might be?
Well, no comments. It can be utilized for many different options. Nothing specific right now.
Okay. And then, Brad, maybe the second part on how you guys are thinking of spectrum going forward?
Yeah, Dan, would you like to take the question on spectrum going forward?
With respect to spectrum, we currently have access through a good relationship with Clearwire of using the 2.5 gigahertz spectrum that they have. But as you may know, there is other spectrum that we expect to come to the market over time, 700 megahertz and other lower frequencies. And as we described, network vision, spectrum sharing opportunities, and kind of an ideal spectrum portfolio, which is a mixture of, if you will, low frequency, middle frequency, and high frequency spectrum. With the growth that we're seeing in usage and applications and smartphone adoption and tablets and what have you, spectrum's always going to be, an important commodity for us to keep our eyes on going forward. So nothing specific I can tell you with respect to spectrum, but at least it gives us an opportunity should spectrum become available from an existing carrier or spectrum that might be auctioned by the FCC, that we could potentially make that spectrum part of our spectrum portfolio.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks, guys.
Your next question comes from Jason Armstrong with Goldman Sachs.
Thanks. Good morning. Maybe a couple questions. First, for Masa, how will you measure the performance of this investment? You know, I guess what's more important to you? Is it growth in subscribers, growth in revenues, margin performance? Maybe just help us think through the framework of how you'll look at the performance of this asset. And then second question, I guess, for Dan and Joe, just the $3 billion upfront in cash, maybe this somewhat relates to John's question, but just, you know, why did you need a structure that provided cash upfront? And you know, in answering this, is part of this maybe accelerating the network investment, or I know you have $3 billion in callable debt, that it's callable at par. Does that play a role, or is this firepower for other things you'd like to do? Thanks.
Okay, so first, the immediate synergy that we're going to get together is the economy of scale in total volume of purchasing smartphones and purchasing procurement of the network equipment. So the becoming number three revenue company in the world at the scale of the revenue, we immediately get all kinds of synergy. The actual measurement of the achievement going forward would be our profitability going up, as I have explained in my chart. SoftBank EBITDA margin is higher than AT&T and the level of Verizon. So if we can make Sprint going forward to that kind of level profitability, the company is going to worth fortune. So with our track record, our know-how, I think combined entity would become to that level. So our actual final achievement is that our profitability, both ends, would be much stronger.
Okay, thank you, Masa. If I could just follow up, your comment on when you come to the U.S., you say the network is so slow. What specifically do you think is the issue over here? Is it the LTE development and ecosystem? Is it spectrum depth? Maybe just help us think through what you think the problem is.
Well, you know, I am a speed maniac. You know, and when you are using the network for voice, the speed actually does not matter at all. You just need the connectivity. But when you use it for internet browsing, internet content, and so on, you really need speed. I am an internet guy, so I know speed is everything. And smartphone and smart tablet is actually an internet machine. So I think the speed is the key. And right now, every time I come to the state, I say, wow, this is so slow. What is this? It's you know, unbearable. I cannot stand the slowness of the speed. So U.S. citizens don't have the experience of high speed. So once they experience it, they never go back. But they just don't have the experience of, you know, beautiful and high speed network. But we're gonna bring that to the state.
Okay, thank you. And on $3 billion.
Right, hey, Joe, would you like to take? Sure, Dan, go ahead.
Well, the regulatory process, the normal process, you know, probably will take, you know, 7-8 months. Because, of course, it needs DOJ approval, FCC approval, CFIUS approval, and what have you. And this is just a way of improving the balance sheet. There might be a potential for an opportunity between now and then. There may not. But it was just an opportunity for an immediate injection of capital into the company over the, you know, that we might be able to access over the next, let's say, 6-9 months while the transaction is being approved.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Congrats.
Your next question comes from Davey Dixon, FBR Capital Markets.
Yes, good morning, and congrats again on the deal. Question for Masa, and then a question for Dan to follow up. Masa, Sprint has a tremendous amount of spectrum or access to spectrum to touch about a third of the country here with TD-LTE, but they don't have as much spectrum for coverage and in order to reach the other two-thirds of the population. So it was a new and major investment and a major investor into the company. I wanted to get your thoughts on that mismatch today. And then secondly, Dan, looking ahead to using Clearwire and their spectrum in the network, now when we think about the network sharing concept, do you think that it would be an either-or decision in terms of looking forward to a potential deal with Clearwire or a potential tie-up with Dish? Is there enough room to really leverage both of those, or do you think it's an either-or decision for the company? Thanks very much.
Okay, so I don't talk about any specific our detail of our strategy. I never do that in advance. But we have a very strong strategy and a very strong plan to make that happen. And we have the capital, we have the know-how, we have the experience. So just wait and see. I'm gonna prove how strong that is. But I cannot tell any detail of our next move. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
And your next question comes from David Barden with Bank of America.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the question. I guess my first question is, again, for Masa. There's been a debate here in the U.S. about how the wireless landscape would evolve, whether there would be three national players or whether there would be four national players. A lot of observers of this transaction are asking themselves whether a four-player market or a three-player market is what you based your investing decision on. Could you share a little bit about how you see the future of the U.S. wireless landscape and how that factored into your thinking about this transaction? And then second question, if I could, for you, Joe, just in a traditional transaction, we would have a market trading value, then we'd have some, payment for control, and then we'd have some present value of synergies. So as we look at this transaction, we look at the price that SoftBank is paying for Sprint, and we subtract out the control premium that they're paying, and we go back to what Sprint would be worth on a post-deal basis. Can you quantify or give us some sense as to the substance of the post-transaction benefits that Sprint is getting from a quantified standpoint? For instance, would you get materially lower interest rates on your debt? Is there a specific something we can grab onto about what this transaction means in terms of dollars and cents? Thanks.
Okay. First of all, I have to leave in 5 minutes to the live TV in Japan, so I'm going to answer your question. I shouldn't be answering, making comments on your question, either I view numbers, the three players or four players. There are all kinds of sensitive issues, but we are just happy with our investment into Sprint. And we just have to execute what we, just announced. And in the future, there are all kinds of potential options, but, I shouldn't be making any comments on that. Okay?
And Dave, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, one of the things is obviously our borrowing rates. I mean, if you saw where the bonds closed last week, I mean, the 7% were down in the fives, and the 11.5% were trading at over 135. So clearly, there's an immediate benefit as a result of getting this transaction closed, and not to say all of the other things that we get from the expertise that SoftBank brings to us.
Okay, as I said, I have to leave in 5 minutes. So if you guys have any questions to me first, I would answer that.
Okay, operator, can we take the next question? And could you gear your question towards Masa, please, before we lose his time? Thank you.
Your next question comes from Chris Larson with Piper Jaffray. Chris, your line is open. Please check your mute button.
Hi, I apologize. My question is not for Masa. It was actually for Dan. But an important part of the change here, Dan, is you and the strong team of management that you've assembled. Does this transaction cause your shares or any of the senior management shares and options to immediately vest due to the change of control? And how do you think that's going to play out, given that, you know, the team you assembled is an important part of everything?
Well, this is Dan here, and the team there in Overland Park, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, we have a double trigger in terms of change of control provisions where it requires both a change of control and for there to be a material change in somebody's responsibility before those provisions are, come into effect. So it should have no impact. I can tell you, though, that from a management retention point of view, of course, a minority of senior managers were involved, given the confidentiality of this transaction, but everyone involved was extremely enthusiastic about what this transaction could mean for the future of the company and the desire to stay with this company going forward. So I think it will be a very large asset to management retention.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Chris.
Your next question comes from Brett Feldman with Deutsche.
Thanks. I believe Masa probably has to run, so I'll ask this question to Joe. Your post-transaction, you're going to be sort of an investment-grade territory with your balance sheet. I'm curious, is that actually an objective? In other words, is this a permanent reset of where the company is going to carry leverage? Or as you look at all strategic options going forward, would you be willing to take leverage back up to the levels we've seen it at recently? And then just as a technical question, what happens with all the debt outstanding? Is it need to be rolled over immediately, or does it stay in place?
Yeah, so in regards to the existing debt, because of the change of control, there's approximately $9+ billion that have a double trigger. So it requires two of the rating agencies to provide a downgrade, which S&P has already provided positive outlooks, and we'll see what Moody's does today. I think ultimately where our leverage goes, we're going to, going to get some guidance from Masa and the team. Obviously you've seen what they've done with their balance sheet as far as accelerating their debt payoffs and stuff, and then opportunistically leveraging the company to take care of, strategic investments, et cetera. So I think we'll let that play out.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from James Ratcliffe with Barclays.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. Joe, could you help us? This is Sandeep for James. Could you help us?
I have to go. So this is Masa. I'm going to excuse myself. I have to go live TV show now. Okay.
Thank you very much, Masa, for your participation.
Yeah, bye-bye.
So, Joe, could you help us quantify some of the cost synergies you think you can get out of this deal? And then also, does this change your timing of the network vision in any way?
No, we've not given any formal change to anything. But obviously, Masa alluded to the fact that, what he's been able to put together in Japan combined with us does create a very large global entity, and I think from that you can extrapolate some of the benefits that might get out of it.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Mike McCormack.
Hey, guys, thanks. Maybe a couple of questions, one for Dan, one for Joe. Dan, just thinking about network vision and the process you're going through right now, and you've made some good progress there, but is this an issue of if you throw more money at it, we can do it faster and potentially come out as a better competitor more near term, or is it just a matter of sort of blocking and tackling through that. And then secondly, for Joe, on the debt refi story, are there any restrictions on the debt, on the current debt, to get that refied sooner rather than later?
Hey, Mike, Jan here. No, throwing more money at it wouldn't make a significant difference in the implementation speed of network vision.
Okay.
You know, on your debt question, Mike, the 14s and 15s are currently callable. It's roughly about $3 billion that we could go and refi.
Operator, we have time. Operator, we have time for one final question, please.
Your next question comes from Rick Prentice with Raymond James.
Thanks for getting me in. Congrats on the deal, guys. Question on, so I was talking about the LTE slow network in the U.S. Can you update us on kind of where we're at on interoperability of the TD and FD, and also how you guys look at the value of spectrum versus potential dilution on EBITDA?
So in regards to the spectrum, remember, you're going to get a return on your investment just by the fact that you get growth in subscribers, what you're able to do with your ARPU. You know, obviously the capacity is something that you need over time. So that's one of those strategic investments that you, you know, make that you get a proper return on your invested capital.
It's being worked, you know, the ecosystem is moving towards, you know, chips being capable of working at both TD and FD LTE frequencies. So we expect to be actually widespread over time from an ecosystem perspective. There are opportunities to improve, we'll call it handoff time, so that it's completely transparent to an end user. Recall, for example, hands up between TD and FD, and those are the kind of technical issues that that together I think we can make progress on. But I think the ecosystem of TD and FD, you know, a lot of that work has been done over recent years, and I think over the next future years, number of years, you're going to see, I believe, a lot of devices capable of working both FD and TD.
Okay, so as far as fitting it into the network, something over the next couple of years?
I'm sorry, would you repeat the question?
So as far as fitting TD into the network as well as the handset side, something over the next couple of years?
Yes, in the coming years. We would see it.
Great. Congrats again.
Thank you all very much for your interest in Sprint and for your participation in our call. This concludes our call today. Thank you.
This does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.